This morning, the Bible reading that Avril's going to bring to us in the message this morning is from Luke chapter 18. We're going to be reading from verse 9 through to verse 14. So it's the same as that parable that was up on the screen in the clip this morning. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.
I wanted to start off actually with a bit of a story. A long time ago now, and it doesn't seem that long, but a long time ago, not just long after I'd met David. David worked at the Queensland Theatre Company, and I enjoyed theatre, and I went to the theatre, and at one stage I went to the opening night. David was behind the scenes, but I went to the opening night. Now, for all your young people, I'm going to have to give you a bit of a history lesson. There was no personal computers. There was no mobile phones. There was really not much of anything other than what we called newspapers. And I grew up in Brisbane, and I can remember, you know, we used to get the Sunday Mail, and if you were able to get on to those social pages in the Sunday Mail, it was like you'd arrived, you know? And you'd look through the Sunday Mail in the mornings, and you'd see all of these quite glamorous people, and they were normally at opening nights, and they were normally doing their stuff, and looked very, very important, and obviously were important if you got onto that page in the Sunday Mail. And it was an interesting thing, because I do remember it, and I do remember, you know, the comments from my family and from my wider family that, yes, you'd really made it if you made it onto the social pages. So picture me at opening night at the theatre. I was wearing, in those days, you always wore your very best clothes to these events. I wore my best clothes. And during interval, as you want, I went to the ladies' toilet. And lo and behold, there in the ladies' toilet was the woman who wrote the social pages getting notes from all the women in the toilet. As you do. I didn't believe it, but there you go. The interesting thing was that it was probably the best lesson I got about status. I remember it decades later. I remember it because David and I have gone on to meet a whole lot of people and do a lot of things. But you know what? Maybe this idea of who is important in our world and who has status is a bit hollow, particularly if you get your information in the ladies' toilet. It's an interesting thing. So you ask yourself, how does this relate to this parable? Which is actually a very short parable, isn't it? And it says some amazing things about how we view each other and ultimately how we see ourselves with God. Needless to say, the Pharisee seemed to be pretty connected with status. He was pretty aware about how important he wanted to be. In a few decades ago, that would have been, he would have loved to have been in the social pages. He would have been seen as important. But let's look at this story a little closer. So we have the Pharisee and the tax collector. They both go up to the temple. They both know that this is a place where they can draw near to God. They have that in common. That is usual for people in those days to know that this is where they can go to meet with God. We know it's not a time of usual community prayer, so they're both there for personal prayer. They're both there because they themselves need to draw close to God. And that's the point at which these two men stop being similar. The Pharisee arrives, and that DVD showed it very, very well. He felt very important. You could tell from his dress. You could tell from his bearing. You could tell from the way he approached everything that, yep, he was proud. This was an important, solemn time. He walked through that temple. He walked up the stairs. He walked into it. And then we hear these words, and he prayed about himself. If you look at that short passage, the word I is used so many times when it comes to the Pharisee. When he talks and prays about himself, some commentators actually say, well, actually, it's very hard to say it's a prayer, really. It's just one big boast. And that's how it comes across. It's wholly focused on him, wholly focused on what he's done and who he is. And he says this, God, I thank you. And it's almost like a little slide into the stuff that he really thinks is important. You know, the stuff about, I thank you, I'm not like all of those, really. He's absolutely been aware of who's around him. He's walked into that temple. He's had his eye out. He can see who's there. So that he can actually say, thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. It's about, this is me. Look at what I've done. I'm a very good man. After all, I fast twice a week, as Pharisees in those days did. I tithe everything, which in those days actually meant that he didn't only tithe what he got, but they talk about tithing even when it comes down to the herbs in his garden. And he probably did all of those things. Outwardly, he said, look at me, I'm very good. He actually thought in terms of, well, you know, I'm pretty self-reliant, really, in lots of ways. That short passage of prayer is, I've done everything I can. I am good. Look at how wonderful I am. He's fallen into this trap of believing that the status the world gives is actually the only status that matters. And he gains status by doing all of those things that make him look good. Wearing the right clothes, going to the temple out of community prayer time, tithing, fasting. It says nothing about what's going on in his heart. So it's interesting if we then look at the tax collector. And the tax collector is a bit different. We know that tax collectors in those days were certainly isolated. We know that nobody wanted to mix with them. They were disliked, they were avoided. Because they did what the Romans were asking them to do, they were seen in a very bad light. His approach is different. Would be fair to say he doesn't know who's around him. This is not about who can see me here in the temple, who can see me praying. He comes and stands at a distance. He does not look up as the Pharisee had done. He looks down, he beats his breast, and he only says one short prayer. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Everything about this man's approach is an awareness of who he is. He is a sinner. He stands at a distance because he is ashamed of who he is. He knows he is unworthy. Nothing he does, nothing he is, can justify him before God. He has no status and he knows it. There is no goodness in him. His eyes may be down, but his heart is lifted to God. In Psalms it says, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. My sins are more than the hairs on my head and my heart fails me. And I'm sure that's how this man felt. When you can be overwhelmed by a knowledge of how you are as a sinner. Overwhelmed about how unworthy you are to approach God. He beats his breast because that symbolizes that shame and that unworthiness. And he doesn't seek riches and blessings. He seeks mercy. Because he knows that mercy can lead to forgiveness. He knows that he is nothing, and through God's mercy and forgiveness, he can be so much more. So Jesus concludes the parable by saying, it is this tax collector, this humble, contrite man who is justified. Not this boastful, good, on the outside looking good guy. It's this other person. So, what does this mean for us today? We don't have Pharisees. We probably have a whole lot of tax collectors since we had GST, so you may well be rubbing shoulders with them right now. But it's a very different setting, isn't it? It's a totally different setting. And when I came to consider this and think about it, I thought, well, in a lot of ways we have a huge number of Pharisees. If we look at it from the point of view of being self-reliant, an absolute belief in yourself, an absolute trust to your own goodness, we have a lot of those people. In fact, we have a whole industry. If you trot into a bookstore and have a look at the number of self-help books, you will see that the message of our society is all about become self-reliant, rely on yourself. If you do all of these things, you will be valuable, you will be worthy, you'll be a great person. You know, messages, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. It's all about you. And sometimes I suspect that even if you don't make the grade, you can certainly act like you do. And so it's all about the way I'm going to be good and important in this world is I am going to be self-reliant. I'm going to be able to be responsible for myself and absolutely trust that I can achieve what I want to achieve. Somehow, because you are cleverer, more self-reliant, healthier, seemingly happier, richer, somehow that makes you better in our community standard. So it seems to me, and I had the experience in the ladies' toilet, but it seems to me that status is a pretty empty thing in our community, because we absolutely know that quite often we get to where we are and it's got nothing to do with us. And I have been really privileged to meet a lot of people in my work as a social worker. I've been privileged to meet with people who have not been born in the circumstances into which I have been born, and I had no choice in that. I've been privileged to connect with people. And I have also been blessed to see their faith in those circumstances. So on one hand, we have this proud, proud man, and we have many proud people today. Interestingly, pride can lead to an illusion. You start to begin to think and believe your own publicity. And you can be delude yourself, engage in some self-deception, really. Humility, on the other hand, doesn't have much popular press nowadays, does it? Not actually meant to be humble. Humility is not a word we hear a lot about. Doesn't fit with the all-needing self-reliance ability to do everything by yourself. But humility helps us to see ourselves as we really are. And when you see yourself as you really are, it does incline you to God. So if you're too busy thinking about your own status and your own abilities and your own reliance, you may miss seeing God's grace and mercy. And we know that for the tax collector then it was about this humility. He was absolutely aware of who he was. He was absolutely aware that he was unworthy and that the thing that was going to make him in any way worthy was God. The Pharisee who had it all, the tax collector who had none. And as I said, I have had the privilege to walk with a lot of people in different levels of their life. And I remember particularly meeting a homeless man. And I guess in our days, if you walk down Queen Street and you see someone who is carrying a lot of bags and looks unshaven and dirty and homeless, they may be the people that we don't really want to see. And they may, in fact, be treated the way in which the Pharisee treated the tax collector here. But I remember having a wonderful conversation with this homeless person, and he talked about his faith in God. And I felt ashamed because I looked at him and I thought, wow, such strength of faith. Was I so out about my faith? When really here he was, absolutely aware of himself, but absolutely aware and prepared to share that God made his life incredibly important. And it was very humbling to be able to give this man access to a bed and a shower. And he said to me, oh, thank you so much. I haven't had a shower for over 4 weeks. And yet his faith shone so strongly. It's not normally what we'd look for, but it is what is there. So it's interesting. How do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves with others, and how do we see ourselves with God? We are all in need of God. Whether we are deluding ourselves or not, we are. And it doesn't matter who you are or in what circumstances you were born or what you've done or what you might be planning to do or how much wealth or otherwise that you have, what makes us equal is our need of God. What makes us equal is that we absolutely depend on God, because God knew that there was no way we were going to be able to do it by ourselves, and so he sent Jesus. And Jesus' death meant that we can be saved and that we can be drawn into a fellowship with God which is beyond our imagining. But he died for everyone, regardless of where we are in life. And that is what makes us equal. And the status of the world is a bit different, isn't it? Because our status is in the fact that we are the children of God. Pretty incredible status. I would say pretty hard to go beyond that. But everyone we meet has the same ability to be in that level as well. Because God died and sent his son and died for everyone. And it's interesting, this parable is about prayer. And so we sometimes put it into that context. Well, when I come to prayer, you know, I do remember that I'm not self-reliant. I rely on God and I need him. But I actually think this parable is much bigger than that. It's not just about prayer. It actually can challenge us to think about how we are with each other when we leave this place. Do we come here and realise that we need God and then go out and start doing things for ourselves all over again? Easy to do, really easy to do. Because sometimes we fall into that trap of thinking, oh, yep, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And after all, we've got all of these messages from the world saying, yep, be self-reliant, you know, rely on yourself. Brother Andrew of taking Bibles into Eastern Europe fame asked a question which actually has, I think, a very important question for each one of us, and that is, how big is your God? If you start being self-reliant, leave this place and most of the days of the week think, I can manage, put in a sort of a bit of a prayer to God occasionally, but I'm still doing it all by myself because I can be self-reliant, we are actually making God smaller than he is. God is big enough for everything. And if we limit him, then we don't give him the opportunity to make us who he wants us to be. And I think that's a really important thing for us to question. So in terms of this parable, we look at it and God is, Jesus is really challenging people to think, where do they fit? And if you look at where this parable fits in Luke, it's followed by the little children and Jesus. So some questioning about, okay, let the little children come to me. What is in the heart of a child when they come to me? And the next parable is the rich ruler and how really, really hard it is to get to God if you've got all that wealth in the way. So in numerous ways, Jesus is challenging people. Think about how you come to God. Think about yourselves in relation to him. And if you get that part, it's interesting how easy it is to think about how we are with each other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you knew that we needed your Son to die for us so that we could be made worthy. We thank you, Lord, that through Jesus we can draw close to you, that our sins can be forgiven, and that we can be known as the children of God. We thank you, Lord, that this is an opportunity for all people. Help us, Lord, to have more of you and less of us in our lives. Amen.